Standing before thousands every Sunday, Craig Groeschel had perfected the art of appearing spiritual. His sermons moved hearts, his prayers sounded eloquent, and his pastoral presence radiated confidence. Yet inside, he was drowning. One morning, approaching the pulpit, a devastating realization struck. He hadn't prayed once that entire week. He had become a full-time minister, but a part-time follower of Christ. That Sunday, without notes and with a dry throat, he did something terrifying. He told the truth. "My relationship with God is not what it should be," he confessed to 200 stunned faces. What happened next changed everything. People wept, not just for his struggles, but for their own hidden failures. In that moment of radical honesty, God's presence flooded the room in ways his polished performances never achieved. We all wear masks, saying the right things to parents, performing for bosses, curating perfect social media lives. But what if the very thing we're hiding is what could set us free? From childhood, we learn to play roles, saying what parents want to hear, acting how teachers expect, performing for peers' approval. When faith enters the picture, the stakes feel even higher. One seminary professor warned students to guard their pastor's mystique, never appearing normal, always seeming superhuman. This dangerous advice creates spiritual performers rather than authentic disciples. You memorize the right phrases, attend the right events, and project unwavering confidence while your private life crumbles. But God never called us to be perfect Christians. He called us to be like Christ, who was radically honest about human weakness. When we finally drop the exhausting charade and confess our struggles, something miraculous happens. Authenticity creates space for genuine transformation. Living for an audience of one means you'll stop trying to impress everyone else. Some people won't like the real you, but others will love you more deeply than they ever loved your performance. Christians can be the hardest people to love. They judge, condescend, and fight over trivial matters like worship styles or Bible translations. There's the angry street preacher, the flaky televangelist, and that peculiar preaching style punctuated with after every sentence. Worst is the hypocrisy, saying one thing, doing another, giving skeptics ammunition against Christ. Research confirms Christians often behave no differently than non-Christians. They outserve non-believers by only 2%, while non-Christians give more to charity. Shockingly, 53% of American Christians give nothing to missions, church, or the poor. But the Christian who bothers us most isn't from another church, it's the one in the mirror. That moment of road rage over a parking spot, followed by the offending driver witnessing about Jesus and saying, "It looks like you have a problem with anger," those moments expose our own hypocrisy. Yet despite these frustrations, there's much to love about imperfect believers who grasp God's grace and can't stop talking about it. Church discussions about sexual purity tend to be either superficial or oppressively joyless. The reality is both messier and more hopeful. Childhood curiosity starts innocently: Barbie dolls, National Geographic, scrambled cable channels. But innocence shatters when a friend reveals hidden magazines, burning images permanently into young minds. By college, many drag heavy chains of sexual sin, trapped in webs of deceit. Promises to live purely bring temporary relief, but even marriage doesn't eliminate temptation. That moment in an airport bathroom, heart racing at a discarded magazine, reveals how intense the battle remains. King David's fall with Bathsheba offers crucial warnings. First, always watch for temptation. Never travel alone, avoid dangerous channels, have internet activity monitored. Don't be overconfident. Second, watch what you watch. The Hebrew word for David saw Bathsheba implies an extended, lustful gaze. Noticing beauty isn't sin, lingering and lusting is. Third, watch your company. Bad company corrupts good character. Fourth, watch for the moment of decision. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. God promises a way out of every temptation. After preaching to 1,000 teens where hundreds came to Christ, a hotel room breakdown seemed inexplicable. Despite being surrounded by people and powerfully used by God, crushing loneliness felt unbearable. Who ministers to the minister? God declared everything in creation good, except one thing. It is not good for the man to be alone. Yet loneliness plagues everyone. Married people craving intimacy, children wanting real friendships, teenagers battling isolation, singles yearning for companionship, elders feeling forgotten. Early ministry wounds taught dangerous seclusion conclusions. I have to perform for people. I can't trust anyone. No one truly cares. Like turtles retreating into shells, protective walls increased isolation. When a workout partner confronted this facade, saying he wouldn't waste time with someone who wouldn't be himself, vulnerability became the gateway to genuine friendship. When bed rest during pregnancy finally humbled pride enough to ask for help, people showered the family with meals, cleaned the house, mowed the lawn, and cared for kids. Pride had been the barrier all along. Worry isn't just unpleasant, it's sin. The sin of distrusting the promises and power of God. One man's depression-scarred grandmother instilled such economic fear that at 7, he hid dollars under his carpet. The breaking point came when his daughter ordered the cheapest item at her favorite restaurant on her birthday, saying, "I'm afraid we can't afford it." Realizing he'd passed fear to the next generation demanded change. Jesus taught us to make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Decide ahead of time not to dwell on what could go wrong. Like extreme skiers who avoid crashes by looking at the spaces between the trees, focus not on dangers but on God's path. The greatest struggle is giving cares to God without taking them back. After surviving 3 car accidents as a passenger, the terror of not controlling the wheel mirrored a spiritual issue, clinging to an illusion of control rather than trusting God. For controllable worries, take action. For everything else, stop the what-if game and surrender concerns without reclaiming them. We've been taught to fake it until we make it, to never let them see you sweat. But what if genuine spiritual power runs directly through our weakness? Moses complained about his speech impediment. David was the forgotten runt. The disciples were unschooled, ordinary men. The Greek word is idiotes, meaning unskilled. Yet these people changed the world because these men had been with Jesus. Stop believing everything your fans say. Stop believing everything your critics say. The only opinion that matters is God's. When you drop the pose, when you confess your struggles, admit your doubts, share your failures, you create space for authentic community and genuine transformation. Yes, some will be uncomfortable with your honesty, but others will breathe a sigh of relief and finally feel permission to be real themselves. In a world obsessed with image management and personal branding, radical authenticity is revolutionary. Your weakness isn't disqualifying. It's your invitation to experience God's power. Stop hiding. Live for an audience of one.